tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Day. Now, of course, a lot of our listeners must have first-hand knowledge of experience of life in rural India. I don't know, maybe you were born ill, maybe just a visit. But to most of us, no matter what our background and whether you know India or not, it remains, I don't know, perplexing and frustrating that, well, India's gone through a massive period of massive economic growth in recent years. There still seems to be poverty on a massive and appalling scale there, yeah? Sitting in East London, I don't know, it's often to forget about, you know, the many thousands of miles away, isn't it? Of a well-established organisation here in the UK has definitely has not turned its back on the day-to-day problems of many ordinary people in rural India. We're joined now live in the studio by Emma McKenzie from Action Village India. Emma, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Hi, Pete. Thanks very much for inviting me along.
OK, Action Village India. What's that all about then? How does it work?
So it's an organisation that was set up by a group of individuals who'd worked in some of those rural communities that you were talking about. And they were working with charities in India. And those charities were set up to help with what was called the Bhutan land distribution.
Right, now you're going to have to explain that one, yeah.
So the idea was, after independence, they tried to give people land. And the reason for doing that is that land is, if you like, a basis of an economic unit for a lot of people in rural communities.
Yep, well, it's a whole basis to it, yeah. Absolutely. If you haven't got land, you can't grow anything.
That's
and the
exactly
bigger the piece
right
of land you've got, the more you can grow, yeah.
That's spot on. And I think particularly in places like India, which are not so developed, you know, in those rural communities, people use the land to feed themselves, and then they use the surplus to sell. And that's basically how they live. So originally, land was distributed to people, but people needed help to understand how to look after the land. So a lot of charities developed at that point to help people understand how to farm the land. And Action Village India initially got involved in that. Then the ethos changed slightly, and it said, well, actually, you have to help the whole village, not just the men who are farming the land. So you had to help the women. So the women needed to understand their rights, because if they were secure as well, you'd have a better functioning village. You had to help with education. You had to help with health. You had to help people understand about pesticides and things like that. So Action Village India,
it's more of like a holistic exactly approach to it, looking at the whole thing rather than just saying, oh, we're going to look at agriculture. You say, hang on, wait a minute, this is part of a community. People come together and the whole thing together makes a society.
And that's exactly it, Pete. That's absolutely spot on. So you look at the whole village as an economic unit, and then you try and help the village work together. And if the whole village is working, then it means that people are looked after. So that's sort of the roots of the organisation. But what's changed slightly, you talked about India developing so quickly and bits of India being left out. And what we're finding more and more is that those little units of land that people have are no longer economically viable. And people are having to leave the land and go to the cities to find work.
What's changing? Why isn't a small piece of land used to work before it doesn't work anymore? I'm not sure about
because,
that.
Because people, the farmers need to take on labour themselves to help them to grow produce and so on. And labour is becoming very expensive, and that's partly because salaries are going up in the cities, so it's bringing up the wages in the rural communities as well. But also there are much bigger market forces. So you've got a small farmer is competing against much, much bigger farmers in a much more global marketplace.
I mean, saying like, you know, like I'm thinking, I'm just a basic commodity like rice. It's an international commodity. It's traded over there, futures trade. I mean, they're selling next crop's rice before it's even been grown. And things like that. So
that's exactly right. Yeah. So suddenly, you know, farmers are being very adversely impacted by a lot of these global forces. And the trouble is that when they leave the land and they leave the village, it undermines the village as a unit. And then they go to the city, but you're not guaranteed of work. you then move into a very unstable work pattern. People are living in slums, and then the family's back in the village.
I mean, that's the origins of shanty towns, really, isn't it? Because people, like, they move to the city, they can't afford the rents and things like that, so they just find a bit of whatever and just make it their home, just a cardboard box or whatever they can find, a bit of old tin, whatever, yeah.
That's exactly right. And I think linked to that is what's also happening in India is that land has become a very precious commodity, and it's being taken away from people. So you've either got little farmers with their own small piece of land, or you have a lot of people that are, you know, what you'd probably call squatting on land, and they are generally being evicted off the land so that that land can be used for multinational companies or for bigger farms, or for kind of speculative purposes. And actually what was very interesting, you talked about those 29 women losing their housing, and the word that you mentioned is that they were looking for secure housing. And that's really what we're trying to do in India, is that people don't have secure livelihoods, and what we're trying to do is to help them find that security, and to do it from, you know, as far as possible and in a sort of self sustaining way.
I mean, a big problem. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I mean, don't you just get swamped by all this? I mean, how do you actually find your way around this? Because you can't, I mean, here we are sitting in East London. How do we solve the problems of India? We can't. So what do you do?
That's a good question. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's a huge, huge problem. And there's a very good question which says, can charities actually solve the problem? I think we're realistic. We're not a very large charity, and there's obviously a limit to what we can do. But I think what's really, really important is that a lot of the solutions come from the people themselves.
Right, so, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like people coming in outside. What you need to do is your problem is this. And, okay.
That's exactly
It's never going to work that anyway.
No, that's right. And it's a little bit like, you know, the ethos of this radio station. It's all about grassroots. Mm. So it's about individuals mobilizing, like these ladies, mobilizing to secure something better for themselves.
Okay.
So we work with partners in India. They have a much better understanding of the issues, and they will only work at a grassroots level.
Okay. And what sort of things do you do? Do you raise money? What do you do? What sort of thing? I mean, just on a practical level, sure. What do you do?
So our funding comes from sort of a number of sources. We have one very big grant from the government, and that supports a big disability project in Bihar. So that helps people with disability to understand their rights and to access those rights. Most of the rest of the money comes from individuals, and those individuals typically are people who've been out to India. They love it, they feel a real passion for it and a passion for the work, and when they come back to the UK they then want to kind of support it in any way we come. So that's where we get a lot of the money.
Oh, I know where you get some of your money, yeah. As well, it's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? I've been there. Go on, tell us about your calf.
So we also have a cafe. It's called Madras Cafe, which we affectionally call Mad Cat. And
it's fantastic. This is, yeah. Okay. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm a bit disappointed that you didn't bring anything along with you today. I just want to say that from everyone here on News Sound Radio. I said, you know, the Madras Cafe. They said, really, they're going to bring something along. And
I'm sorry, but I have to say, I can't take any of the credit for the fantastic food that they serve at WOMAD.
This is at a festival, isn't it? We should explain that. It's at the WOMAD Festival, the World of Music and Dance Festival every year, and you have this cafe there, and everyone from the festival turns out it's always known as the best one to go to. Fantastic vegetarian Indian food. It's really
amazing,
absolutely fantastic.
I tell you, I mean, I obviously love the work, but a very close secondary motive for being involved is the good food.
It's the Charlies,
yeah,
I'm only here for the Charlie.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so that raises all the money, yeah. But it's also you involved in as well, doing these projects and putting money into it and helping people to organise themselves in different things. It's also involved in a march or something as well. Tell us something about that.
Yeah, that's right. So there was a large march was organised by one of our partners called Ekta Parishad. And they mobilised 60,000 people to march from Gwalior to New Delhi. Now, what the remark...
How far is that? Because people who don't know the geography. I mean, I don't know. What are we talking? Is it 10 miles, 20
miles?
Oh, no.
I mean, that's like 100 miles.
Okay, okay.
So, and it's very, very organised, you know, because it's obviously a long, long march. So it's very organised in terms of feeding people and so on. The reason they were marching was to secure their land rights. So this is an issue it's talking, sort of alluded to earlier, whereby people do not have secure rights over land. And that affects a number of people, either people who currently do hold deeds to the land. You never know when that's going to be taken away from mm-hmm. you, or people who don't actually own any land are effectively squatting on land. And also in India, you have a lot of tribal people, people who live in the forest and live off the forest. So they marched to try and...
This is about a year ago now, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Yes, back in October. And actually, it was enormously successful. The government gave in to all of their demands after, I think it was only a few days marching, because they didn't want that larger march to arrive into Delhi. So it's actually a fantastic example of how, like, grassroots...
People coming together absolutely. And making a difference, and it's all absolutely. Completely peaceful and things like that
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, and yeah. that's one of the big, big principles of our organisation. We only support Gandhian organisations in India, so it's very huge emphasis on peaceful, non-violent action. But absolutely amazing result, and I think... You know, it shows you what you can do at a grassroots level when you're able to organise.
Okay, making a difference. Mm. Now, I'm just thinking, we've got to go to the break now, yeah? I mean, if people wanted to contact your organisation or find out more about it, how could they do that?
So they just need to Google Action Village India. We have a website and they can contact us through that.
Okay, and I've got it. It's just go www.actionvillageindia.org.uk. You can always go to that and you can do it.
Great
and people can get involved in things as well. The other thing is, have you been around long now?
What, within the organisation?
Yeah, no, I don't mean yourself personally. The organisation itself, has that been around long?
Yes, well, we've got a big anniversary this year.
I'm feeding you the lines and I'm feeding you the lines. You forgot to mention that. I know, it's so professional, isn't it, down here
brilliant.
At New Sound Radio, yeah?
Yes, our 25th anniversary this year. So we're having a celebration at our AGM in November.
And it's at Toynbee Hall, isn't it? Toynbee Hall in East London, yeah.
More good food, if anyone would like to join us.
Oh, don't ask me in. Yeah, because I understand the cafe's doing something. They're doing some food.
They always come and cook at our AGM, which is fabulous.
Okay, then. I'll tell you what, though. Action Village India, yeah? You've been around for 25 years, yeah? Facing big problems, yeah? And a lot of people sort of say, I don't know, this is just, you know, what you're doing. What would you say? What do you think? If there's one thing you think that Action Village India has really achieved in the last 25 years, what would you say that is?
I think it's just helped thousands and thousands of people in rural communities. You wouldn't necessarily see that in the UK. You wouldn't necessarily see that impact in the UK. But if we could take you all over there and speak to people there, you would see the enormous impact that it has. And actually, it's just so motivating to go and visit the projects and meet people who've benefited, you know, in what seems to us very small ways. You know, maybe they've been given a goat, or maybe they've been given a pair of spectacles. Little things that we take for granted here that make huge, huge difference.
Emma McKenzie from Action Village India. Thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM. But I tell you, we'll stay, won't you? Because we've got a special report on Wilton's Musical. Do you know Wilton's Musical?
I don't, but it sounds great.
You'll find out about it later on. Stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Attention, landlords.
Attention, landlords.